Our reading this morning is from James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. This is the word of the Lord. Money. For many Christians, a deadly trap into which it is easy to fall. Money opens the doorway to a host of selfish desires. Money makes false promises that life is better when you buy more things. Money, we think, gives us real power, and that kind of power nearly always corrupts a person's heart and mind. But this morning we're asking the questions, what does James have to say on the topic of wealth? Well, James has been showing us how to excel in our faith and in our Christian walk over the last few weeks, and he brings a wisdom we need to recover as Christians. Last week, if you've got your Bibles open on page 1212, we saw that God, since God is the Lord of time, we mustn't boast about tomorrow or make boastful plans as if we can control what happens tomorrow. I'll go here, I'll go there. It may be that rich Christians, or Christians who aspire to be rich, think that by their wealth they can secure what will happen tomorrow. Indeed, the context seems to suggest that the problem for the Christians to whom James is writing is that they were trying to build their paradise on earth. So in the verse that immediately follows, in verse 7, he says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Because it's only then, when the Lord comes, that we'll really enter into paradise. Now, it's important to stress that the New Testament writers never denounce the rich for merely being rich, but rather for giving in so quickly to the temptations to which the rich are so prone. It is possible to be rich as a Christian. Some Christians are born into wealthy families. Some have made it through hard work. But for all of us, whether rich or poor, the temptation to acquire more and more, to take more than we need, or to live in self-indulgence, is an ever-present temptation. And as Christians, if we possess any amount of wealth, we must take extra special care, because there are three things, James tells us, that will happen on the day of God's judgment. First, the day of judgment will bring about a reversal of people's situations. In verse 1, James warns rich Christians, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you." The misery that is coming is God's judgment. It hasn't yet come, but it will. And I take it, he's talking to those who have hoarded wealth and used it for self-indulgence, as the context makes clear. For such people, now is the time to put their house in order before it's too late, to repent and turn their laughter to mourning. James has already said as much in chapter 4. Grieve, mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. You see, isn't it easy to think that it's our money that will lift us up, make us feel good again? The day of judgment will bring a kind of equilibrium on the earth, a reversal of human circumstances. I'm sure you remember how Jesus said, "The last shall be first, the first shall be last." And in Luke's gospel he says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. The poor shall be rich, the rich shall be poor. If you weep and mourn now, you will laugh. If you laugh now, you will weep and mourn." So if we're rich, which most of us are, now is the time to weep and wail in recognition of this fact, in repentance and sorrow. Maybe God will spare us. The second thing the Day of Judgment does is to expose the fragile nature of wealth. The wealthy are nearly always deceived into thinking that their wealth is permanent, but James says the opposite. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. The fact that gold and silver corrode, and new shoes wear out, and clothes wear thin, and the metal on the car eventually rusts, and things stop working and break, is simply one of the effects of the fall, the curse of Genesis 3. The fact that all these small things rust and decay is a sign and a pointer to the fact that the whole of this earthly order will one day be destroyed, and that we need to look elsewhere. Peter, in his letter, reminds us that we have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1:4. In fact, for Christians, it's a blessing when your new watch, your new car, your new fridge get scratched, because it reminds you not to put your hopes in the things of this world. Remember Abraham, the archetypal man of faith. He left his home in Babylon to go to Canaan, the land God promised. But he was happy to live in tents because he knew that Canaan wasn't his ultimate home. He was just passing through. He was looking forward to the heavenly city whose architect is God. For those who do accumulate things and put their trust in gold and silver, the day of judgment will reveal your friendship with the world. Verse 3. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. So all the things I've accumulated over the years will be brought into the courtroom, as it were, as witnesses against me. 10 mobile phones, hundreds of books and glossy magazines, 15 cars, a pile of sofas, beds and chairs. These witnesses will look the worse for wear, but they will stand up one by one and testify against me. Yes, they'll say, Jules was trying to build himself a paradise on earth. God commands us to store up treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. So be aware of the fragile nature of wealth. Well, the day of judgment, thirdly and finally, will expose the injustice that wealth can bring. James makes this very clear at the end of verse 3. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who've mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Well, this was directed presumably at those rich Christians who are paying their workers unfair wages or none at all, so that the harvesters are crying out to the Lord as they struggle under the burden of providing food for their families. The contrast is striking. While the workmen are crying out to the Lord, presumably for justice, you, verse 5, have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. The language here of fattening yourselves like sacrificial animals in the day of slaughter is a vivid one. One immediately thinks of the West in general, the overspending, the luxury, the lifestyle, the obesity. Metaphorical maybe, but metaphorical of the overindulgence we see all around us. I think we're meant to feel a little bit uncomfortable by this kind of description. But if you're feeling uncomfortable, please don't dismiss it as something unnatural or run away from what God is wanting to say here. The scriptures, we're told, are useful for teaching, rebuking and correcting. If you've been remiss in this area, then take stock and have a look at your attitudes to money and your use of money. In the light of Christ's coming, Christians must not live for money. We are citizens not of this earthly country, but citizens of heaven, which means we're truly free from the tyranny of this present age, free from the tyranny of increasing bank accounts, and free to give our money away, as Timothy helpfully encourages us. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the truth and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Amen.